Deuteronomy chapter number 5, and I'm going to read verse 16. Deuteronomy chapter number 5, and I will read verse number 16. Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. I'll read that passage again, or that verse again. Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Proverbs chapter number 30, the second passage we're going to read. Proverbs chapter number 30. Proverbs is still in the Old Testament, and you come across it just before you go into Ecclesiastes. Proverbs chapter number 30, and I'll read verse number 11. So Proverbs is after the book of Psalms and just before the book of Ecclesiastes. Chapter number 30, verse 11. If you are there, say amen. Amen. Right. There is a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother. I read it again. There is a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, this beautiful morning, we thank you for gathering us together as your people around your word. Lord, as we pray and as we go through your word this morning, I ask that you anoint your word and you anoint the ears and the hearts of your people this morning. I pray for myself that you anoint my tongue and you make it like the pen of a ready writer. Let the word distill from my lips as the dew from heaven. I ask, O Lord, that you give your people, my brethren, the capacity, O Lord, to understand what you are going to be pumping out from this altar this morning. I pray for grace for understanding, humility to be open-hearted, to receive your instruction and direction. Let this word build us up. Let it empower us with grace, not just to be hearers, but to be doers of the word. So that at the end of this teaching session, all of us will have been tremendously transformed by the power of your word. Thank you because you will do this and much more. For we have prayed in Jesus' name. Amen. A louder amen. Amen. This morning, by the grace of God, I'm going to be teaching on what I've titled The Honor Question. The Honor Question. The Honor Question. For the past couple of weeks, we've been going through the Ten Commandments. In the message series that we titled The 10 Laws of Freedom. And it's been a tremendous journey for me as a person. And from the big feedback that I've got from members of our church, I believe it's been a tremendous journey for our church as well. As we learn the heart of God, and as we begin to understand that the heart of God has actually not changed, the context might have changed, the situation might have changed, the generation might have changed, but the heart of God remains exactly the same, and that the Ten Commandments actually has very significant application to our day and time, and by extension to our families and society. Now, if you go through the Ten Commandments, you will discover that you can actually split them up into two parts. The first four commandments deal with your vertical relationship with God, and the last six commandments deal with the horizontal relationship with your people, with other people. The first four deals with God, that's the vertical relationship, and the last six deals with our horizontal relationship, our dealings with people. You remember Jesus summarized the entire law into two. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. That's the first. And he said the second is just like the first. You love your neighbor as yourself. So the first four commandments can be packaged into the first law, In the New Testament, the Bible says you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And the last six talks about loving your neighbor as yourself. It's the horizontal platform of our relationship as people. Now, but it's so interesting that the first one that the Lord is going to mention in the horizontal relationship component of things actually has to do with honoring our father and our mother. Honoring our father and our mother. Now, you don't need to think too far before you understand that this actually does not fit, as it were, into our society today. This is our society and our age, in our generation. We celebrate youth and youthfulness, but we relegate old age and being old to the background. In fact, we don't want to hear about them. Our age celebrates youth and youthfulness, and we relegate old age, maturity or mature age, to the background. Now, today, by the grace of God, I want you to walk with me, please. And some of the things that I'm going to be saying to you is going to challenge your current stethoscope and your current way of thinking. And I just want you to ask yourself the question, do I want to follow what I've been handed over to me by human traditions, or do I want to follow the word of God? And as a pastor over this church, by the grace of God, I'm going to be challenging you to follow the word of God. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. To the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, it's simply because there is no light in them. So I want you to make up your mind right from the outset that I will do what his word says. Amen. It brings to my mind the story of an elderly gentleman who decided to make a trip from the village to come to the city. And the intention was to come and see the son. The son had just been married the last 1 year, and he's been longing to see them. So he made this trip to come and see his son and to see his daughter-in-law. And right from the first night, it became apparent that the stay was going to be turbulent. Because as they were on the table at dinner, as they started to eat, they discovered that the elderly gentleman could just not eat straight from the plate without shaking. This man was already bent over by reason of old age, and he has some shaky movement in his hands, such that when he eats, you know, the spoon, the fork, or whatever utensil is in his hand, vibrates, you know. And then the entire table will have gotten filled by the end of the meal. So the daughter-in-law was not really very impressed, because by the time they finished the table at dinner, the entire place was filled with, you know, food materials. Of course, the son packed up after his father. That continued for a few days. And after a few days, this young woman could just not take it any longer. She called the husband and said, we need to have a serious talk. When your wife tells you that we need to have a serious talk, run for your dear life. All right, just kidding, okay? Just kidding. Okay, and she brought this issue up. I mean, we can't just continue like this. The table is always messed up by your dad each time he comes. I mean, each time we have meals together. Can we just make a little compromise? Can we set his own food up at a different place? And they both agreed that they were going to do exactly that. So they set up a different table, a larger table this time, put the food of, and they will serve the man on a different table apart from the one for the family. That continued for a few days, but they discovered that the situation actually was not getting better, because the man will mess up the entire table, and not out of his own volition, but because of his condition. Mess up the table, spill over into the floor, and they had another conference, another meeting, and they felt, no, this is not working. And they decided that they were going to make like a trough for this gentleman. So, you know, like the pig's trough, you know, a large one. And put it outside, it's in a covered area, something like the alfresco, and that's where they were going to be serving this gentleman. And that started, and that continued for a while. The man was supposed to stay there for just 2 months. One day they were just outside, the family was playing outside, and they saw little Johnny collecting some sticks and trying to make something out of those sticks. This young boy was just 5 years old, and they've always known that he is very, very creative, you know. And out of their curiosity, they called Johnny. Johnny, so what are you doing with those sticks that you're packing up? Johnny smiled, you know, those mischievous smiles. A very innocent young boy. Said, I'm just trying to put things together to make a trough for you so that when you grow old, I will be able to serve you from the same. They looked at each other, they cried, and that was the last time they allowed the man to eat by himself outside from the trough. I went into that because I need you to realize, people of God, that when God says, honor your father and your mother, out of the many things that God could have said in just, God was going to give 10 commandments to the nation he has just delivered from captivity, and out of what you will refer to as his top 10, he included, honor your father and your mother. That to me is stunning. That the God of the heavens and of the earth will put that there is because it's so important. And I've just read from Deuteronomy chapter 5, just to let you know that it was not just only spoken once, because the Ten Commandments were written in the Bible at least 2 times as an old package. You find it in Exodus, and you find it also in Deuteronomy chapter 5. I usually say when God says something once, it's important. When he begins to say it twice, seriously important. Deuteronomy chapter number 5, verse 16, the passage we have just read, honor your father and your mother. Now, this is completely diametrically opposed to the psychology of our age. Modern parents want to raise a family where they have peership, you know, where we have friendship. And the mention of the word honor and respect makes us to have some, you know, goosebumps. We become immediately defensive because what it provokes in our heart is some kind of dictatorship and authoritarian kind of a rule. And that's little wonder that we have so many troubles in our homes and in our marriages and by extension in our society, because we fail to honor our fathers and our mothers. We fail to honor our fathers and our mothers. And it has gotten so bad today that current generation don't seem to even understand what it means to honor. And that's why I'm going to take a little moment to just go into this and see what the mind of God is, what the mind of God was, and what the mind of God is, because his mind has not changed. And we're going to be spending some little time on the word honor. Now, what does it mean to honor? Now, the word honor is from the Hebrew word called kabad. Now, don't be scared. I'm not going to the Hebrew class now, but I just want to bring that up to you because it's important that we know that the original Bible was written in Hebrews, the Old Testament, most of it, and Greek in the New Testament. You have some other languages like Aramaic coming into the picture. And it is important for us to know what was in the mind of God when he penned this word down, honor. Honor means, or it's from the original word, like I said, is kabad. To be kabad means to be heavy, to have an heavy, to be heavy or to be weighty. To be heavy or to be weighty. It means to have a heavy estimation or a weighty estimation of something or of someone. It means to have a heavy, weighty estimation of something or of someone. So when the Bible says, honor your father and your mother, it means let your estimation of their value be very heavy. Are you following me, church? Let your estimation of their value be very heavy. Now, in the community where I grew up, we use the vernacular way we usually bring into play when we have some discussion is that we use expressions like, you know, that man is heavy in my hands. Now, when you say that man is heavy in my hands, it means I have great honor for him. And because of that, I'm going to do this. That man is heavy in my hands. That's exactly the root word, honor, kabad, kabad. I have a great estimate, a heavy, weighty estimate of something or someone. Now, have you ever heard this expression? Don't I demand at least an ounce of respect from you? Have you heard that expression before? Okay, all right. An ounce of respect. It means they are trying to give an impression that respect is something you can weigh. It's an idiomatic expression. Don't I demand an ounce of respect from you? Because honor is for short of words, I will use the word weighable. There's no English word for that. I've not heard of that, but I'm just making one. You can weigh it. It's your estimation, the value that you place on something or someone. So when the Bible says honor your father and your mother, it's literally saying that let that man have a heavy impression in your heart. Let that woman, your mother, have a very heavy, your estimation of them must be high, weighty, heavy. That's exactly what it means when it says honor your father. Now, the Bible says obey your parents. Ephesians chapter number 6, the place where we have just read. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And it continues, honor your father and your mother. The word obey means, obey is an action. It is something you do. Okay? Honor is primarily not an action. Honor is first an attitude, the position of your heart. Now, you rarely will find people obeying people that they don't honor. But there is no way you will honor someone you will not obey him. Because honor is the state of your heart, the estimation, an inner estimation of their value. That's what the Lord has used here. Because obedience becomes natural when honor is in place. Honor your father and your mother. We all, as people, owe our parents this honor. At the time of your delivery, you are in debt. You're not in debt to the government. You're not in debt to people, but you are in debt to your parents. You are literally a debtor at the point of your appearance. You know, as you cry, wah, wah. I hope you did cry. You are indebted. You are indebted. Now, the Bible says this in Romans chapter number 13, verse 7. Pay all what is owed to them. Taxes, to whom taxes are owed. Another translation says are due. Revenue or custom, to whom revenue is due. Fear or respect, to whom respect is due. Honor, to whom honor is owed. Romans chapter number 13, verse 7. So you see the word due, or you see the word hold. It's the same thing. When a bill comes to your house, they usually write due by, and they put the date. It means you are a debtor. It's not that they are not chasing you around because the date has not passed, but you are in debt already, potentially, technically. If the date passes, then that's the time that they will begin to enforce it. Now, when we, at the point of our birth, we are debtors. We are in debt to our parents. Now, and the Bible God requires us to honor them. Now I know, I'm getting restriction as I'm talking. There is a lot of, block in our heart. And the block comes from this statement. Oh, you have no idea who my father is. you can stand there and be talking. You have no clue who my mother. My mother. you have no clue. But as I studied that passage, I realized that there are no caveats somewhere. There are no conditions, no provision, no footnotes anywhere. Because it's not a conditional statement. Honor your father and your mother. Many of us won't have any trouble with this particular commandment if we belong to the following group. For instance, if we were born by parents who are faultless, parents who are faultless, who have no faults. They provide for you when you require it. They supported you when you required. They give you space when you require it, you know. Give me space, you know, when you require it. They are faultless. We won't have any trouble with honoring them. We say, yeah, it's the right thing to do. But perhaps that doesn't describe your parent. Many of us will not have any problem if our parents were faithful, dependable. They are trustworthy. They are people that are faithful to our father, in case of your mother, or vice versa. They are people that are faithful to your mother, because it's your father and we're talking about here. We wouldn't have any trouble honoring them. In fact, it is something that we're going to want to do. So we're not going to have any trouble with honoring this particular aspect of the scriptures if our parents were faultless. We won't have any trouble trying to do this commandment, perform or come in line with this commandment if our parents were faithful. In fact, we won't have any trouble if our parents were found. What do I mean by found? I'm talking about being saved. You know, anyone that is not saved is lost, according to God's word. If our parents were born again, spirit-filled, tongue-talking, Holy Ghost-filled, that we won't probably have troubles with that. But they are lost. We're talking about a lost alcoholic, abuser. We're talking about someone that cares not a single modicum of care from the man. We're talking to people who were dropped when they were babies, that their father left them without looking back. We're talking to people whose mother dropped them when they were babies and joined another man to experience love. But that's exactly to who the Bible was written. To people who were born to faultless, or to parents with faults. To people who were born to parents who were faithless. To people who were born to parents who were not yet found, lost. And perhaps that still remains their situation right now. Honor your father and your mother. Now, and the Bible says this is the first commandment with a promise, with a reward. To start with, I hope you remember what we said when we started this series. These are commandments. They are not suggestions. They are not a sharing of ideas and opinions. Many of us don't have problems with that. We don't have problems if it was suggested. Pastor, are you suggesting I should honor my parents? Okay, I'll take your advice. I will process it. No. I'm not suggesting it. God is commanding it. It is a commandment. Now, the Bible says, and this is the first commandment with a reward, and I will come to that in a short while. But before I talk about the reward, can I say with every fiber of my being that it is not out of place as parents to demand honor from your children? Forget about this modern-day psychological whatever that they are trying to teach us. And they are trying to give the impression that the family is composed of an adult and kids who are actually adults inside, so you should relate to them as peers. If God wanted everyone to spring up like the plant and the weed, he could have done that. He put children in the family so that they will have the benefit of being shadowed upon by parents. And the provision of the shadowing is instruction. There is supposed to be a demand for respect. And it's not out of place. It's not an overbearing parent that demands respect and honor from his children. The Bible says in Malachi chapter number 1, God said, if I am your father, where is my honor? If I am your master, where is my respect? In other words, if you claim that I'm your father, then show me some honor. Respect me. So it is not out of place for parents to make a demand on their kids to respect them if they are not falling in line. It is not an overbearing parenting. And that's why I don't want you to pattern your parenting skills into following the pattern of the 21st century psychological jargons. I want you to pattern it according to God's word, because there is life in there. There is life in there. Now, listen to me, people of God. Now, if you indeed understand the reward of getting the children that the Lord has given to you to honor you, then you will trust God to help you to get them to honor you. Because there is a tremendous reward in there. But before I talk about the reward, can I say a few things? Now, when you say honor, can we be more practical? What does it mean to honor our parents? And I don't mean to go through this in an exhaustive manner, but I'll just go through a few things. Now, you know, because the way a five-year-old will honor our parents is not the same way a 50-year-old will honor our parents. The way a 14-year-old will honor his or her parents is not the same way a 40-year-old will honor his or her parents. So let's break it down. How do I, the practical ways to honor your parents if you are a child, if you are a teenager, or if you are a young adult, if you are someone who is living with your parents, who are still under the roof of your parents, what are the practical ways to honor your parents? And I want young people in our church to listen to me because this is very important. Like I said, this is not exhaustive, but it gives some direction and some it gives some practicalities to what we're talking about. How do a young child or a young teenager honor his or her parents? Number one, the Bible says, obey them. Obey them. Ephesians chapter number 6. Obey your father, obey your parents in the Lord. Obey your parents in the Lord. That's a practical way to honor them. They give an instruction, okay, you obeyed. They give a counsel, okay, you obeyed. I know some of you are already struggling in your heart because that's not what you are taught in school, but I'm telling you this is what God's word says. Obey your parents. But the Bible says, in the Lord. In other words, if the man tells you to go and get weed and bring it home so that we can... No, that's not in the Lord. You know, if the man says, okay, let's do some shoplifting here, that's not in the Lord. I'm sure you are laughing, but the truth of the matter is there are fathers who actually engage with their kids in some of the most, you will probably not be able to think about, some of the most evil things. Obey them in the Lord. In the Lord. So how do I practically honor my parents? Number two, find out what they need to be done. Or find out what needs to be done and do it for them. Find out what needs to be done in the house and do it for them, even before you are asked. That's the way you honor your parents. That's the way you honor your father and you honor your mother. Don't talk to them rudely. That's the way to honor them. Even if you have an opinion, there is a way you talk to your parents. If you have an opinion, you allow your parent to finish whatever they're saying, and then you say, Daddy, can I say what I want to say? And you give your opinion. You don't talk to them rudely. You don't talk back to them. Now, what I'm talking to you about, you need to go into the psalm. I'm sure you have seen it. I was in my office the other time, and a young woman in her 20s, or maybe very early 20s, came in with a mom. Apparently, the mom had come to support her. And we started talking. The way this girl addressed the mom was shocking. As in, she was explaining the symptoms of her problems to me, and the mom was trying to clarify it because she had seen what was going on. And she would turn and say, no, shut up, mom. I'm talking here. You wait until I finish talking. Oh. Shut up, mom. I felt bad. I felt really bad. In fact, I had to suppress my anger because I was already angry. I was already angry. You don't talk to your mom like that. You don't talk to your mother like that, even if she was wrong. You don't say, shut up to your mommy. Oh, God have mercy. But that happens a lot. You don't talk to your parents the way you talk to your peers at school. Even when you want to use sarcasm, you use sarcasm with some sense. We are blessed by the Lord with three daughters, amazing young women in our home, great kids. I wish I could tell you that we don't have discussions like this. You don't talk to me like that. You don't talk to me like that. Honor your parents, because there is a reward that is attached. Honor your parents. I don't know about your kids. When my kids came, they didn't come with manuals. You know? But I thank the Lord that he sent, you know, I was having that discussion in my heart. He said, I sent you the manual before they came. And that's the word. The word. All right, let's move on. You don't use language, you know, rough languages when you're talking to your parents. That's the way to honor them. You know the issue, whatever, you know. Oh, you don't say that. In some homes, you don't say that. It's wrong. It's wrong. Because they are your parents. You hold them honor. You hold them respect. Now, to a 40-year-old man, he's not even living in the house. To a 45-year-old woman, she has long lived her parents. Does this scripture still apply? Absolutely. Absolutely apply. Practical ways for an adult to honor their parents. Number one, extend grace and forgiveness to them. You have to extend grace and forgiveness to them. Remember, there are no perfect parents anywhere. Some of us are still living with the hurt that we picked up when we were still in our teenage years because our father dealt with us in a bad way, or our mother. The way to honor them, people of God, is to extend grace and forgiveness to them. They did not train to be your parent. There was no training college for parenting. They picked it up. So in their fault and in their, you know, still in their frailties, they might have done things that are terrible, that are wrong. The way to honor them, people of God, is to extend grace and forgiveness to them. Don't hold them in your hand and say, that man did this to me, I will never forgive him. That woman did this to me when I was a child, I will never forgive her. You know why? What that sounds like? It's like you're drinking poison and hoping that the other guy should die. Because you have constricted your soul. Extend grace and forgiveness to them. That's the way to honor them. Number two, acknowledge their contributions and esteem them privately or publicly. Acknowledge their contributions and esteem them privately and publicly. Thank them for their sacrifice. They might have done many things wrong, but don't allow what they have done wrong to becloud your judgment of the things they have done right. That's the way to honor them. Talk to them privately. If you were a father, would you like to hear someone, your child, talking to you as a 40-year-old or 45-year-old? You know that that's one thing you taught me that I really, really appreciate. As a father, you want to hear that. That's the way to honor them. Oh, you know, Mom, thank you because you taught me how to spend wisely. I really appreciate that. That's the way to honor them. You acknowledge their sacrifice. They may not have done many things, but the few things that they have done, acknowledge it, appreciate it. That's the way to honor them. Many children don't appreciate that there are sacrifices that parents also go through in order to keep them. There are some of us that are cutting back on the things that we would have loved to enjoy and do for ourselves because our kids are in school. You have to pay their bills, so you don't. Because the resources are limited, you can't travel the world, even though that's what you wanted. You can't. Because he has to go to school. She has to go to school. Acknowledge it and appreciate it. If you have platform, opportunities, family gatherings, to acknowledge them, not just privately, but publicly. I want to use this opportunity, you know, to acknowledge my father. He's been a great dad. You know, that's the way to honor them. It's not getting the list of the 100 things they've done wrong. On 16-2-1979, you did this. On 17-3-19, No. That's not the way to honor them. You'll be surprised how many of them actually regretted what they did to you when you were a child. But you've never given them the opportunity to even tell you. Honor them. Number three, so don't allow the errors to be cloud your, their errors of their past to be cloud your judgment. Never strike them. When I say strike them, I'm talking about never strike them physically. It's a curse. Never strike them verbally. It's a curse. Do you realize that the same judgment that comes upon a child in the Old Testament who goes ahead to strike his parent physically is the same thing that is meted out to a child who actually curses the parents verbally? Death. You're caught physically abusing your dad. Boom, you're gone. The same way, if you are found cursing your parents, death penalty. You don't strike your parents. You know, these days, you know, parents have to be careful who is at home before they actually, you know, discipline their kids. Because their 15-year-old is ready with, you know, all those martial arts, taekwondo. Practice on the dad is a curse. Is a curse. Or you curse your parents, whether they are there or not there. These are curses that people take all through their years, all through their lives, and they never even know what is actually drawing them down. I'm going to round up in a short while, but you're going to see that it has both reward and consequences. Speak well of them publicly. Speak well of them privately. Another way to actually honor their parents, and this is very key, people of God, provide for them. Provide for them. Provide for them financially. Provide other emotional support. Provide for them. And this is very important. You know, in the West, we have a problem because we are trying to twist God's word. We're trying to put the responsibility of provision for our parents upon the government and civil organizations. It's a great thing for governments to put up support to help, you know, senior citizens. But I'm afraid that many of us, even as believers, we are losing sight of the fact that we have actually been put in such a position like this to make provisions for them. It's payback time, adult kids. Those people invested into your life, you are required to provide for them. It is a requirement of God's word. You know, the Bible, I want you to look at something with me, please. And this is very important as I begin to round up. 1 Timothy chapter number 5. 1 Timothy chapter number 5. We're talking about how adult people are able to honor their parents. 1 Timothy chapter number 5. So here Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, was trying to set things in place in the church that is being pastored by this young pastor called Timothy. Now, there were a bit of a confusion going on in the church, and there were elderly widows in the church. And these elderly widows were being provided for by the church. And Paul is in this passage trying to set things right. Verse number 3, 1 Timothy chapter number 5, verse number 3. Honor widows who are really widows. You know what that means? Honor widows who don't have any source of help. Because not all widows are helpless. Where is their help coming from? Verse number 4. But if any widow has what? Children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to what? Repay their parents. Now, listen to me. You don't repay what you have not owed. You only repay if you are owing. Let them repay them. Let them repay them. For this is good and acceptable before God. For this is good and acceptable before God. People of God, let us take care of them. Let us make provisions for them. Let's provide for them. Now, a writer, I believe an American writer by the name of Stott, says this. He says, African and Haitian cultures, which have developed the extended in place of the nuclear family, are a standing rebuke to the West in this matter. He says, when parents grow old and feeble, it is then that roles and responsibilities are reversed. There are cultures in our world that understand their role as provider for their parents. The West has lost it completely. because we have put into position certain structures, which are great structures, beautiful structures, you know, pension, superannuation, drawing from funds and all those things. We leave our responsibility to take care of them, to look after them and provide for them financially. I'm talking about financially. Remember, these people were once strong, agile, energetic, like you, 20, 30 years ago. It's time to take care of them, providing for them. I come across different ages of people, and sometimes when I come across elderly people, even though they have a 10-minute consultation period, they want to tell you their life story. And one of the things that come out from those things, especially as I walk around in clinics, is that there is this longing that kids, their children, grown-up children, would just realize that they need support. I'm talking about even financial support, as great, as beautiful, as the structure around them. Do you know that the government is even now crying because of the heavy load of taking care of people in their advanced age? The government is crushing. Why? Because in the beginning, it was not designed to be so. Parents are supposed to take care of them. Like I said, it's a beautiful system, but I hope we have not overextended the reach of this system. Children take care of their parents. Children take care of their parents. Somebody say, no, you don't understand what I'm talking about. You know, we're still trying to get things. They were still trying to get things sorted when they raised you two. How do you know they didn't get everything together? They were still trying to sort things out when they raised you, invested into you. It is callous, irresponsible for any child as a grown-up to neglect financial provision for his parents. I don't care which part of the world you are from. It is the responsibility of children to take care of their parents in their old age. That's the way to honor them. Amen. Amen. That's the way to honor them, people of God. Not even talking. You know, Jesus came across the Pharisees at the time. Mark chapter number 7. We don't have the time to turn there, and they were questioning Jesus. They said, "You know, your disciples, they're just violating the rules of the land. They are eating without washing their hands. Can you imagine?" And Jesus looked at them and said, "You, by the reason of your tradition, you are even violating something more significant, something much more serious." Why? Because you're telling people, and I'm paraphrasing now, if you get home, you can read it, Mark chapter number 7, from verse 9, I believe. You are teaching people that when they bring gifts to the house of God, they can actually declare that the gift they have brought to the house of God was meant for their parents. But because they have brought it to the temple, to the house of God, then they are left off the hook to take care of their kids, to take care of their parents. He said, thereby you are violating the rule of God, the law of God that says children should take care of their parents. He said, you don't say that. You don't say because, oh, whatever I need to give to my parents, I've given it to the building funds in church. That's why I can't support them financially. Wrong. Wrong. Because what you give to God is not exactly the same thing like you give to your parents. As a young boy, I understood this very clearly. And I say this with all sense of humility and modesty. The first pay that I got as a young boy, young man, because I finished university, I took the money and I divided it into 10 parts. I paid my tithe, I took the rest, and I rushed to where my parents were living, 100 kilometers away from where I was. And then when I got there, I didn't meet them. I dropped it with someone. I said, give this to my parents. Now, they were not depending on that to feed themselves. I did that as a mark of honor. My first pay, they must be a partaker of it. Why? Because I understood, and I still understand by the grace of God, what it means to have a father and a mother. And when I speak to them these days, by the grace of God, they're overseas, I speak to them with a sense of honor. There was a time I was actually calling them over the phone. That was many years ago. I had just gone into college, and I was going to make a phone call from a phone booth. And a friend was passing. I didn't realize that. And I was saying, hello, daddy, and I was bending, you know?
And the guy, after I finished the whole thing, said, look, this is a phone. Nobody sees you. You know. Because I had been so conditioned to that voice, to respect that voice. It's my father's voice. So naturally, it's a almost like a conditioned reflex, you know. Just bend over. They deserve it. They deserve it. Even in our days and time, by the grace of God, we always look for opportunities to be of blessing to them. My father-in-law is a retired judge, well, comfortable man financially. I mean, he has kids all over the world, raised lawyers, doctors, everyone doing very well, UK, Canada, Australia, everywhere in the world, the US. Sound people. It doesn't depend on them to feed himself. But as a mark of respect, we always look for ways to be of blessing to him. Dad, no, don't pay for that. I will pay for it. I know you've got the money, but I am paying for it. As a mark of respect. As a mark of honor. People of God, there is a way you soar and you fly in life if you know where to place your head. There is a blessing that comes from the parent. They don't have to know better than you. I know better scriptures than my father. He doesn't have the details of the theological content that I do have. But when he speaks, I bend. I hear what he says. When he pronounces blessing, even over the phone, my amen is not just like, hey, I say amen because I know there is positioned by covenant to bless me. By covenant. Why? Because he's my father. He doesn't have to know more than he doesn't know as much as I do. He knows little about medicine. No idea. But when he pronounces a blessing, because he's been put by God as a mark of authority, as a sign, as a symbol of a representative of the Most High, he's positioned to be a blessing to me. People of God, let's honor our parents. It's important. And I'm also not just talking about giving them money. Some of our parents need to be kept, they need to be brought out from their isolation. They feel isolated. I'm talking about someone as a medical doctor who have contact with these people day and time. 70% of my patients are over 60 years of age. They talk to me. They are isolated. They feel isolated. Isolated. Even in our community. There is nothing wrong in getting a nurse for your parents. There's nothing wrong getting, you know, equipment and things and setting up all those things. But people of God, show up. Show up. They need to see you. They need to feel you. They need to know that there was someone who came out of them, who still appreciate them in their old age. That's the way to end life. Not with some gadgets of some strangers from some. I don't care what sort of specialty they are from. That man, that woman needs you. They must not be isolated. That's the way to honor them and to respect them. Finally, I will close with this. So why this honor? Why this respect? The Bible says it's the only promise, or rather the first promise, the first commandment with a promise. Look at the promise. Chapter number 6, Deuteronomy, as I round up. Are you in church? Amen. Amen. Great. As I round up. Amen. Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you. Don't forget, we said it's not a suggestion. That your days may be long. Stop. Some people think that's where it ends. But you have just touched the surface, that your days may be long, and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Do you want to put out up the other translations, please? Deuteronomy chapter number 5, verse 16. Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you. Then you will live a long time, and things will go well for you in the land that the Lord your God is going to give you. You will live long. You will live long. You know, when you talk about living long, people in our community don't really so much appreciate it because, you know, people live long around here. You know, people live long. You know, 60s, 70s, 80s, you know. If you go to some part of the world, by the time you celebrate your 58th birthday, you've done something major, you know. But living long is an aspect. The quality of your long life is the important thing. That is the blessing. It's a package of long life and the content of the long life. And things will go well for you That's the quality. You know, these days and time, in medical science, in public health specifically, people no longer talk about longevity of life anymore. They call it talk about the quality of life. The quality of life. That's why they've devised a measure. They call it the quality adjusted life year. The quality adjusted life year. Quality adjusted life year. In other words, what aspect of that life, what amount of that life is actually lived in a well state of quality? So a man can live up to 50 years, and then by the time they do the quality adjusted life year, he has only lived 30 years. Because the rest 20, when they package the quality out together, they discover that the rest of the 20 were just waste. The man existed for that long, but he did not live. Why? Because the quality has disappeared. The quality has disappeared. It has disappeared to, you know, physical disability, emotional plague, psychological problems, relationship confusion. Can I ask you, what if some of the hills that is reducing the quality of our life today, what if is actually a function of the fact that we are violating the fifth law, honor your father and your mother? Because it says it will be well, things will go well for you. What if the compromise of the wellness of our living today is simply because we have violated that rule? Because we have violated honor your father and your mother. People of God, it's not just time to live long. It's time to live well. Living long and well. That's what I refer to as a quality life of living. And that's the promise that the Lord has given you. If you honor your parents, you have a promise that you will live a long, and this long life will be of a quality nature. I'm challenging you, people of God, as believers. Let's start to honor our parents. If they are still alive, praise God. If they are not, there are father figures and mother figures that you can relate to. Honor them. And the Lord will bless you with a long quality life.